Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message.
Chapter 21. We're going to talk a little bit about tradition. You know, as we're celebrating this morning, we call it Palm Sunday. It's actually the time when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, being hailed as the Son of David, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And what I want you to see is that in this message is that there's a lot of tradition that was surrounded everything that took place there on that very day. Not everyone realized what was going on, that Jesus was being hailed as the Messiah, because there was so much tradition that was a part of it. Tradition is an important part of our lives. I'm not condemning tradition. As long as tradition is, when it comes to our religious worship and our religious lives, tradition can be a very good thing. But also, tradition can be something that is leads us very much astray, where we just go through the motions of doing things. And I think sometimes at this time of year, around the resurrection, we refer to it as Easter, that there's a lot of tradition that goes along with that. Amen? How many of you have tradition in your family for this time of year, for Easter? Okay, most people do in time, you know, getting together, having dinner, kids having playtime together, Easter egg hunts, you know, all these things that are just a part of our tradition this time of year. And some of them are good traditions. Some of them are nonsense tradition, such as hiding eggs and teaching our kids Easter bunny and baskets and candy and all that stuff. I'm not condemning. I'm not telling you shouldn't do that. I'm just telling you that it is very important that when it comes to our kids, that we separate fiction from fact and fact from fiction. It's okay to play these games with them. But listen, if you teach your children the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus and Jesus, and they find out that two of those are fake, unreal, what are they going to think about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Jesus. So let's be very careful how we handle these things, these traditions that we have in our life. Tradition, on the other hand, tradition can be something very, very good. I was thinking about a story that I heard about a rabbi who was traveling across country on a train with his family, and he was seated by an atheist, and of course they got into a conversation and about God. But every once in a while, as they were talking, the rabbi's family, his grandchildren or his children, would come up and say, "Papa, do you need anything? Can we do anything for you?" And then he'd say no or yes, you can do this. And then they'd go sit back down. And after a while, the atheist looked at the rabbi and he said, "I just don't understand this." He said, "Your kids and your grandchildren, they think so much of you. They reverence you. They have a lot of respect for you. My grandkids and my family could care less about me. They wouldn't do what your family is doing for me." And the rabbi said, "Yeah, that's probably true. You must understand that to my family, I'm just one step closer to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, even Adam. I'm one step closer to God, to my family, because I'm created in the image of God. To your family, you're one step closer to an ape. Now, that's not a necessarily a funny story when you think about it. That's a sad story. Because the reality is that if we allow the world to infiltrate our families and teach us about evolution, that's what they're going to think. Our children are going to think we're just one step closer to an ape. And the reality is we are created in the image of God. Praise God. And we're just one step. Each generation is a step, yeah, a little further from those patriarchs, but we're still connected to them. It's very important that we understand that. Tradition is very, very much alive in the Church of Jesus Christ. You know, what we did here this morning is traditional. In most churches today, there's some sort of celebration of the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, just days before his crucifixion. So this was very traditional, but it is also a good tradition because it reminds us of the reality of when Jesus came to this earth, that he fulfilled so many prophecies, so many ancient prophecies. And one of those prophecies was that he was going to enter into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey, which he did on this day that we're celebrating. Now, of course, it wasn't this exact day, but, you know, that's what we're doing is thinking about that, celebrating it. That's why it's important this morning when I'm going to talk about some things that are a part of the historical events that took place during that period of time with Jesus, but they're very much connected to God's plan of redemption for all of mankind. However, sometimes the church gets involved and we really kind of get off track from the reality of what is real and what isn't real. For instance, the celebration of resurrection of Easter is every year, it's on the same time. It's always on Sunday. And we celebrate Good Friday as if it was the death of Jesus Christ. What does the scripture say about how long Jesus was going to be in the grave? Can anybody tell me? 3 days, that's right. Okay, let's just think about this. Let's calculate this. Friday evening, Saturday evening, Sunday morning. Now, I'm not very good at math, but I think I can figure that out. That's not 3 days. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that, you know, our worship is no good because we're not doing it exactly the day. The universal church established this particular day to make it consistent and establish this time frame so that it's consistent throughout the whole church, and we go along with it. It's okay. But the reality is Passover this year starts Friday night, and resurrection would have been on Tuesday. Because that would be 3 days. He was in the grave, and he came back to life. So as we celebrate this time of year, and we do next Sunday, we're going to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ with excitement and fervency, just as if it was the exact day that he came from the grave. Amen? And that's okay, because it's just a celebration. And we're remembering what Christ has done for us. But the reason that I want to share these things with you is because I want you to be aware of sometimes we allow tradition to get in the way of our real worship of God. We just go through the motions, and we don't even know why. A young girl was cooking with her mother. And the mother was preparing a ham for Easter, and she cut the ends off the ham and put it in the pan and put it in the oven. And the little girl said to her mom, why did we cut off the ends of the ham? And her mom said, I don't know. You'll have to ask your grandma about that. So she called up grandma and asked, Grandma, why do we always cut the ends off the ham before we put it in the oven? And grandma said, I really don't know. You should call your granny, which was her great-grandma, and ask her. So she called up granny, and she got granny on the phone, and she said, Granny, we're fixing a ham for Easter, and mom cut the ends off from it. And she said, you always cut the ends off the ham. It's just a tradition, but we don't know why. And old granny just laughed on the other end of the phone. She said, I always cut the ends off the ham because my pan was too small for the ham. Tradition sometimes leads us in that direction, right? Where we'll just do anything mindlessly. But I want you to know what the scripture said. I want you to know what really took place and what's really happening. I want you to know that there is reason for us to celebrate Palm Sunday. I want you to know that there is really reason for us to have a Friday evening service. Even though it's not the exact date, we're calling it Good Friday. This year, it actually happens to be Good Friday. But every year, it changes because it's a specific date on the Jewish calendar. God's calendar, not man's calendar. And all these things fit together historically to prove that Jesus Christ was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah who came to earth. Amen. Give him glory. Praise his name. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 6, Jesus rebukes religious leaders for replacing relationship with God with man-made traditions. And this is what he says. He calls them hypocrites. And he quotes out of Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Doctrines would be scriptural teachings, biblical teachings that he's talking about. But sometimes we allow doctrines of men to get in the way of what the true meaning or the true scripture, what the Word of God is telling us. And our text this morning is an example of the commandments of God and yet how things got distorted and how it became more of a religious tradition for the people of God that during that time, the children of Israel. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 21. Hopefully you've already been there. And we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Verse 1, chapter 21, Matthew. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples and saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, your lowly, setting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This was the fulfillment of ancient scripture, ancient prophecy, over 700 years old, before Jesus actually appeared on the scene. Ancient prophecy that was given that could not be fulfilled by any of man's will or desire, that had to be fulfilled by the will of God. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt and their clothes, laid their clothes on them and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This is a Jewish epithet that related to the Messiah, the Son of David, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. They did this year after year after year because they were expecting the Messiah to show up. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Then Jesus went into the temple of God. And, oh, I'm going to stop right there. I'm sorry. 11. So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." What we are seeing here is a fulfillment of ancient prophecies. Jesus coming as the Messiah, fulfilling the necessity of riding on a colt, a foal of a donkey, into Jerusalem, being hailed as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What is about to take place, now what we need to understand is that this is leading up. This is a preparation day to one of God's Moedims, one of the feasts of the Lord. Now, there are seven feasts of the Lord. Those feasts are the Lord's feasts, not Israel's feasts. God established those feasts. And one of those feasts was Passover. There are seven of them. They're appointed feasts, and God expected his people to follow those feasts. There's unleavened bread, first fruits, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and the first feast of weeks, or we know it as Pentecost. These are all spring feasts, and Jesus fulfilled those spring feasts. Everything that happened in his life happened at the end of his life, happened to fulfill those spring feasts. There are fall feasts, feasts of trumpet, of atonement, tabernacles. These are all feasts that are going to be fulfilled in the future when Jesus Christ returns. Now, Passover is a celebration of the Jews being delivered out of Egypt. Now, we're going to have a Passover Seder. And a Seder is a telling, and we're going to do it out of what the Jewish people call a Haggadah. The Haggadah is just a telling. It's a format for us to tell the story of the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt, of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, why do we do this? Because this Passover feast was ultimately fulfilled by the Lamb of God. Remember when John saw Jesus coming, when he was baptizing, he saw Jesus coming and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Why did he call Jesus a lamb? Because Jesus came as the Passover lamb to die at exactly the Passover time for the sins of all of mankind. So this celebration of Passover was a fulfillment. Jesus was fulfilling it. That's why we're going to go through the Seder on Wednesday night, because we're going to relate that to what Jesus did for us on the cross. He fulfilled that Passover Moedim. There are four major elements to the Passover. Peshach, which is the lamb, matzah, unleavened bread, and more, which is the bitter herbs. How many have participated in a Seder before, or here, or someplace else? Okay, good. If you participated here last year, you will remember that the bitter herbs were very bitter. When we got the horseradish, we got the extra spicy horseradish, not on purpose. Anybody who likes horseradish would like that. But some of you didn't like it much. We'll try to do better this year. But the reality is, the purpose for that is that we're to show the bitterness of life sometimes. That's why they were to take a bitter herb, because life was bitter for them. It's not always joyous. We want it to be. We thank God for the blessings that he pours out in our life. But we have to experience difficulties. We have to experience death. We lose loved ones. We have to experience health issues sometimes. Even though we believe our God is a healer and he touches and heals his people, yet we still have to experience those things. We have to experience the bitterness of life. And yet our hope is always in the redemption of our redemptive power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's always there, no matter what. So those bitter herbs are an important part of it. And then also the wine is an important part. Or, of course, we just use grape juice. But during Jesus' time, they most likely used not a heavy form of alcohol, but, you know, you can't keep grape juice very long in an atmosphere like they were in without it fermenting some. So, they drank wine. That was just part of their culture. So one of the things that we find out as we go through this is that Jesus went through this ceremony with his disciples, and at the place where he took, there's four cups, and when at the place where he took the third cup, which is the cup of redemption, that's where he took that cup, and he took bread, and he said, "This is my body, and this is my blood." Right in the middle of the traditional Jewish Seder. He was saying, I am the Lamb of God. I'm the fulfillment of this Passover Seder. I have come to be the Redeemer of all of mankind. According to the sages, those four cups represent sanctification, judgment, redemption, and praise. And praise God. That's awesome that is true. So as we can see, the perfect Lamb of God has come, and by design, he has redeemed all of mankind. Look, it's really important that we catch hold of this, that God had a plan from the very beginning. And the reason that he gave Israel the Moedim, or the feast, the appointed times, was to fulfill his plan in the earth. Part of that plan being fulfilled was the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the appointed time. Exactly the appointed time. It's an important time. For centuries, the Jewish people have been expecting the fulfillment of those ancient scriptures, the fulfillment of the Mashiach, or the Messiah. But when he arrived, because of their crazy traditions, they missed it. They had traditions of believing that the Messiah was going to come and set them free from the Romans and deliver them. They missed what God really wanted to do, was set them free from the bondage of sin and death. Hallelujah. Amen. Every year on the 10th of Abib, they went to Babylon, they came back from Babylon, they changed the name of it to Nisan. But every year on the 10th of Abib, the high priest, as a spiritual leader of Israel, would go out. The priest would make a corridor, an entourage. The high priest would choose a group of an entourage to walk through that corridor, out the gate, and head toward Bethlehem, because Bethlehem was the place where the sacrificial lambs were raised and cared for. You know, once again, we can see the fulfillment of Scripture, that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. There's a reason for that. God just didn't say, oh, Bethlehem would be a good place. No, there was a plan there. And those lambs that were prepared, specially prepared for the sacrifice, they had to be without spot or blemish. So outside of Bethlehem, those shepherds were there taking care of those lambs and preparing them. And the high priest would go out and he would take one of those lambs. He'd choose the best one without spot or blemish. And he'd bring that lamb back into Jerusalem. And as he came back into Jerusalem, when the priests that were lining the roadway, the corridor to the temple, would see him coming, they would begin to shout, Hosanna in highest. Hosanna, the son of David. They would shout. And then when they shouted, now this was tradition, I want you to understand, every year it had happened basically the same way. And when they started shouting, the people would come out of their homes with their palm fronds and their traditional celebration, and they would begin to praise and cry out, Hosanna, the son of David. Hallelujah. Unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They would begin to celebrate and glorify the name of our God. And this year was a little different, though, because when Jesus came in riding on the donkey, his disciples were beginning to shout out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And everyone began to hear them shouting, and all the priests got involved and all the people got involved, and they began to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not everyone knew what was going on, but they were doing it because of their tradition. But here's what would happen. Every year, the high priest would bring that lamb in, and he would take it to the Temple Mount, and he would begin to inspect it to make sure that it was without spot or blemish. It had to be without spot or blemish. And for 4 days, until the 14th of Abib, they would make sure that lamb was out without spot or blemish. When Jesus entered in to Jerusalem, from that time forward, he was examined by the high priests, the religious leaders, and even by the Roman government. And he was shown to be without spot or blemish. You remember what Pilate said? When he looked at Jesus over, when Jesus came, he said, I find no fault. Find no fault. This was just before Jesus was about to be crucified. I find no fault. The interesting thing about that historically tells us that about that same time, the high priest would have been on the Temple Mount looking at that Passover lamb for the last time, looking over, making sure he was without spot or blemish, and what he would say is, I find no fault. It's incredible how God puts everything into place. Jesus truly is our Passover lamb. He fulfilled every part of it. They were shouting, Hosanna, the son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hundreds of people. In fact, thousands. It's believed that every year, 150 to 200,000 people would converge on Jerusalem and surrounding area, because it was required by the law for all the men, and they, of course, brought their families, to come to Jerusalem during this time of year. There was three times. Now, here's something I need to try to clarify with you. Although we refer to it as Passover, there was actually three feasts that was being fulfilled. Passover, which was the night that the destroyer passed over the children of Israel. Unleavened bread, which was the representation and the celebration of them being freed from Egypt. And then first fruits, which was the celebration of the first fruits of the barley. I believe it's the barley feast. So there was actually three celebrations. But by the time of Jesus, it was always referred to as Passover. They always talked about Passover, and it fulfilled all those. Now, we also know that there is a celebration 50 days from this Passover celebration, which is Pentecost. And we know that as the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. But what would happen is during this period of time, for centuries, year after year after year, all these people would be in Jerusalem. And when they started shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest," 150,000 to 200,000 people would pour into the streets and start celebrating and proclaiming and believing and expecting that Hosanna, the Son of David, would show up. This year, when Jesus rode in on the colt, it was fulfilled. Many didn't know that. Many didn't realize what was going on, because these same people that was saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David, who is this? This is Jesus, the prophet." Just a few days later, 4 days, they were going to be saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Tradition, if we're not careful, we'll just have religious tradition and not relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey." As he rode in, before and behind him, his disciples were shouting, "Hosanna, the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They believed he was the Messiah, but thousands of those people had no idea. They didn't really know. Some of the priests recognized what was happening. And that's why in Luke chapter 19, verse 39 and 40, it tells us that they tried to shut the people up. They said to Jesus, some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." You see, those religious leaders, because of their tradition, they had no idea that Jesus was the Messiah. But Jesus said, if they're not going to cry out, the stones will cry out. Something's going to cry out, because this is the King of Kings. This is the Lord. This is the Messiah that is present, riding on the colt, as prophecy proclaimed would happen. It was too late. They couldn't stop the people. They were rejoicing and proclaiming Jesus as the Son of David. Shouts were like thunder. People were rejoicing everywhere. You know, next Sunday we're going to come in this place. And I want you to be prepared. I want you to come in here Sunday, because this is going to be, next Sunday is going to be our celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. get your heart right. Get ready. Because this, it should, the next Sunday should be a time of great rejoicing and glorifying the name of our Lord and Savior.
Yes, sir.
There should be dancing. There should be shouting. There should be excitement.
Come on, sir.
Because our King of Kings, our Lord of Lords, not only came, fulfilled the scripture, died on the cross, but he came back to life for us. He is. I mentioned the first fruits. Jesus, New Testament tells us that Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection of the dead. That means that he's the first, but guess what? He's not the only. Hallelujah. We're going to be with them. Our resurrection is secure. When we know Christ is our Lord and Savior, we're going to be in that resurrection. We're going to be counted worthy because of the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus, I am the light of the world. He who knows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light of life. Hallelujah. Amen. That's our King. That's our Lord. Jesus became flesh. He's the King. He walked, he came to this earth. The Word of God became flesh and walked among us, tabernacled with us. That's another one of the feasts, tabernacles. That's one of the feasts that the Jewish men were required to come to Israel, where they would make booths, makeshift shelters, and they would live in those shelters for a week. They were required to come and do this. This was a fulfillment of the fact that Jesus came and tabernacled with us, but he is coming back to forever tabernacle with his people, dwell with us. What an awesome. You know, God is so good to us. And he shows us in his scripture exactly how he's fulfilled all these things. He doesn't keep us in the dark. Listen, this is not just a religious tradition where we come to church on Sunday mornings. We're worshiping a living God.
That's right. That's right.
We need to act like it. We need to recognize who he is. He's alive. Glory. Next Sunday, I'm anticipating a great celebration next Sunday as we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, Jesus. God in the flesh, that's what Jesus was, God in the flesh.
Right.
We've been sentenced to death. But Jesus took our place. The King of Kings stepped down from the glory of heaven and came to this earth. And when it came time, he spread his arms for us because
yes,
he loved us so much. And he died on that cruel cross. He died on a cross that you and I deserve. He took our place. And because of him, all our sin is wiped away. It's not just
yes.
covered, it's wiped away.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Stand with me. Praise God. I do want to remind everyone, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we will be doing the Seder. Friday night, we will be doing a Good Friday service. And then Sunday morning, we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is alive. Let's pray. Father, I just praise you. Thank you, Lord, that this is an awesome day that you've given us. Help us always to look to you, Lord, to recognize that you are an awesome and mighty God. As we go from this place, Lord, help us to to be about your business. Help us to reach out to others, to draw people into your kingdom, to help people to see the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You may be dismissed. If you have any prayer needs and you'd like to have prayer this morning, please come up and we'll pray with you.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.